Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you may be. Here it is morning. We just tried scheduling this particular show, and it looked like it was going through. And then when I actually went to dial in and so forth, it appeared to not be there. So I decided, well, screw this. I just went through a lot of trouble, and I'm just going to go live now instead of farting around with scheduling us an episode. So here we are, and got John on the line with me. John, how are you this morning? Well, I'm glad to hear it. I'm glad you're there. We're here, and we're talking about the Boston Marathon bombing and spelled T-S-A-R. T-S-A! What a coinkydink. The first three letters of the Sarney brothers is T-S-A, R-N-A, R-N-A like DNA, R-N-A, E-V, Sarney. Brothers, I think they're Chechenian background, if I'm not mistaken. I think there was three of them. And this whole business, there's a lot of open-ended funny business going on around this drill that became... Okay. Hello, John.
Oh, my super Skype. I can't even call right.
Well, you were in at one point.
Okay, enough. I need to call your show.
Okay. Yeah. So that was John. Back to the Boston Marathon bombing issue. It was a bad thing. It was a big media event. And I'm not certain how realistic of an actual event that it was. There is a lot of contention, a lot of people, there's some websites even, the pictures of the people that supposedly got blown up at the the backpack and the pressure cooker went off. There was a lot of things pointed out that just don't add up. There's crisis actors, and just a lot of funny business. And now I was listening to Jeff Rentz's show, and he was talking about how there's 17 death penalty counts against this the one brother that was found in the boat. And in his defense attorney, instead of defending him, saying, you know, he's innocent, prove he's guilty, he's starting out by saying he's guilty. I mean, you know, this is a kangaroo trial, you know, to take the way things are supposed to go. And, you know, it looks like we have John aligned with us right now. John, are you with us?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, good. I'm glad that you made it. And, it's a hell of a thing, this Sarney business, this was, you know, a drill. This was a drill. They used Boston. It's a big college town. And then the media just picked it up and went hysterical with it. You know, all the drama of Hollywood, all the drama of the crisis actors. I've seen it in the web pictures of veterans with their legs blown off. They come back from war. They're missing arms. They're missing legs. And then the prop people come in and put like a bunch of cow's blood and fake blood all over their, you know, legs that are already blown off. And they even got a picture of the one guy. He's texting with his supposed leg blown off. Now, do you think if you were in a state of shock with your leg blown off, you'd be able to send a text message to anybody? You remember seeing that picture, John?
Well, the other thing that's weird is that the guy is in a wheelchair. Now, how did he all of a sudden instantly just get a wheelchair? Well, obviously, he came in on a wheelchair. He already was missing his legs before anything ever happened.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We got a controlled media. I'm not going to say who it's controlled by. I mean, I don't know if it's this Israeli, you know, Zionist, Jewish, Zion, Jewish, Khazarian people that is Rothschilds, Rockefeller, Soros, these people, these front people, and it all work, you know, for the big bank people. But this is a heavy, this is like a Hollywood production. I mean, I even think I saw a picture of Steven Spielberg in one of these. Did you see that one too, John? Because they would bring in big guns, big names, to try and make a demonstration as realistic as possible. This drill that the media picked up as a real live event, and these Sarney brothers were FBI working with the FBI, and I guess there was no more need for them, or something. Somebody went off on the wrong something or other, and they went on our own way, and, you know, they basically, you know, demonized them. Of course, you know, there's...
Well, people that are real big, you know, high up in the industry, and they, you know, you have to think about, you know, like, just TV shows and movies and stuff, when you know, dealing with gangsters, that's the way they do things, is they say, hey, look, you know, you need something done. Well, we can have it done for you. But whenever we call you in for our favor in return, then you have to do it. And that's the way it works. If you're a big guy like Steven Spielberg and stuff, if you're trying to get, you know, into the business, and then once you're in the business, make movies, you're always having to ask people for favors to get stuff done. And, you know, when they say, hey, look, we're going to do a thing here and we need you to get involved, and it's the big folks that we're going to pull off, but we need people that really know what they're doing in the industry to make it look realistic and blah, blah, blah. You know, so that's what happens. You get these people that are the professionals come in and do it, because everybody owes these people. It's just nothing but a big gangster mob thing.
Yeah.
You don't have
to
run the country.
Yeah, it is. It's a big mob, you know, pressure cookers in a backpack. And they, you know, almost inciting people to copycat. You know, after 9/11, there was some copycat pilots. I remember there was a 15-year-old kid that flew a plane into a building, and not too many years after that, down in Austin, a guy that was pissed off at the IRS flew a plane into the IRS building, and if I'm not mistaken, he blew up he set his house on fire, I think, and I'm pretty sure he flew a plane into the IRS building in Austin, because Alex Jones covered, and his team covered that one real close, because it was right there, local to them.
Right, but the thing is that only on 9/11 could you actually damage a building that way. In real life, of course, you can't, because they had bombs set up in their building to blow up.
Right.
Airplanes are made out of aluminum, and it's like throwing a beer can at a wall. It just explodes.
It crumbles up
into little pieces. Look at the wreckage on TV from that German airplane that flew into the Alps, and it's tiny little shreds. It once was an airplane, but you can't just go over there and say, oh, look, here's a blown-up airplane. No, it's just little tiny little bits that are like 1-inch square. And that's what happened to the plane that hit 9/11. I mean, hit the World Trade Center.
Yeah,
you can see it. It turned into particles that pulverized the plane, and it all just fell down in a big sheet of this these fragments that just fell to the ground. Curtain of little bits of aluminum. That's what that plane turned into. But they had bombs set up in the building to explode, But the joke is, if they don't care if people try to copycat it, because you can copycat it all day long, but you're never going to do any damage.
No,
same thing with
the
Murrow Building, Oklahoma City. You know, if you get gasoline and mix it in with fertilizer, you're not going to blow up buildings. You're going to blow up yourself or maybe a car, but you're not going to do anything damage, because only when the feds do it, or whatever, whoever do it, does it,
right,
does it actually work, because they had bombs, real military-grade bombs, planted inside the building where they drilled holes in the pilings and the main supports and blew it up. So they don't care. Yeah, they want you to copycat it so that they can bust you and say, aha, look, here's these people that are terrorists. They have a pressure cooker.
Yeah.
They know it's never going to do any damage. Only the stupid people that believe what they see on TV are going to believe that somebody could actually blow something up with a damn pressure cooker.
You know, I want to tell that story of the day that the brother in Orlando, right there by the Valencia Community College West, on over there on the apartment complex there on the road next to Valencia. I used to go to that campus about 10 years ago, and the brother, the one Sarney brother, was I think might have just been a friend of one of the brothers. So he knew something, and the FBI was, first of all, don't let the FBI into your house to do an interview, for God's sake. That's the story, that the FBI was in there interviewing this kid in his apartment, and apparently they wanted him to force sign some confessions or some crap, and the kid refused. I guess he had a knife collection. You know, a lot of young guys have knife collections. I mean, I know of some people that have knives on their walls and stuff. And the kid got pissed off and apparently started to, you know, go after, throw the table up or something at the agent, and the agent just unloaded his pistol on the kid. And they did a total cover up of this thing. There was a helicopter looking over this apartment. The FBI had a big old tent so that you couldn't even see in to the apartment. They tented off about another, you know, 50 square feet or so around the back glass door entrance to the apartment, so they could cart off evidence and crime scene stuff and all this and that, and all keep it all FBI hush hush and everything. And they were holding on to information, and it was early in the morning. I remember looking at that. I turned TV on and saw that, and I'm like, this looks like a crock of crap. And to this day, this FBI guy that unloaded his pistol on an unarmed person, I don't know that he's received any kind of disciplinary action, or if he's still collecting a paycheck and working. And apparently this FBI guy had a history of problems with his emotions, very aggressive. You know, probably the last person that should have been conducting the interview. But, you know, the FBI was basically started by J. Edgar Hoover, kind of a psychopath, kind of a gay secret keeper of secrets, and having dirt on anybody and everybody so he could leverage them over. So what do you expect from anybody working for the FBI? You're going to have, from corruption breeds more and more corruption. And, it just goes down on the line. But I'm really, there's no justice. There's no proper justice in this country when this kid has 30 counts against him. 17 of them are death penalty counts. And, and his defense, the attorney defending him, instead of saying, he's innocent, proved that he's guilty, starts out by saying he's guilty. So that the other side is going to say he's guilty. So what's the judge going to do? Well, guess there ain't much to, can't weigh much against when you got everything's on one side. There ain't nothing to weigh. I guess it's got to go that way. I mean, logically, the way they use logic when they determine justice, if I'm not mistaken. And that's what's probably going to be going down on that. But, you know, that is, it's, like you said, mafia control. You know, they're rubbing these Sarney brothers out, not letting them talk. You know, oh, he's got his tongue shot off. When's the last time you heard of somebody getting their tongue shot off by, you know, through lying in the boat? That sounds very, very convenient for the cops that the kid can't talk for, like, you know, I don't know, just enough time that, you know, where it matters, where, you know, the news cycle is, you know, so many days before, you know, people are on to the next big thing or, you know, the next BS crap. Like we had the White House, the Maryland power plant went out and the White House lost power. Somebody committed suicide in the D.C. There was shots fired. They had closed down this and that. Have you seen all this latest crap going on in D.C., John, these recent headlines?
Well, I just saw the headline that the power went out at the White House.
Yes.
I didn't go into the details of what caused it.
Yeah, no. They don't need to. They just pull crap out of the air, and that suffices for carrying it on the news, because if it's new, it's newsworthy. And then latest thing is there's a guy that committed suicide, and they've shut down some offices there. I guess that would happen today or yesterday.
Well, I haven't heard about that yet.
That's weird that a power plant in Maryland is the power that can bring down power going into the White House. That's a whole state away. You know, you'd think that there'd be power within the state. You know, D.C. would have its own power plant. They'd have backup generators, diesel generators, and stuff for the, you know, the executive branch of this corporatocracy.
Well, you would think so.
You would think, but no, it's not what's happening. I'm at Wikipedia and looking at some of the whoever puts Wikipedia together on the Boston Marathon bombings, and they have you know, pictures of fireworks that were emptied to get the gunpowder, and you know, the pressure cooker thing, it's aluminum, you know, kind of fragment piece. It's a, you know, kind of crumpled up thing. And they got some street camera stills of the guy carrying the Sarney brothers on their backpacks. MIT shootings and carjackings. Shootout with the police and all this crap. You know, it really boggles the mind what passes for news these days. Anything you can think up, hey, it's new. Let's just stick it out there. Make it run. You know, people want to hear something new and put some drama with it. Put a really pretty girl with a sexy skirt on, lots of curls in her hair, you know, model quality features, you know, voluptuous, curvy rear and all that. And people, hell, you know, half the guys don't give a crap what the girl's saying. If she looks like that, they're going to, you know, kind of be watching and listening just because it's, you know, good to look at and good to listen to. And the girl's sitting there earning a paycheck, and she's going to read what's given to her by the people supplying the paycheck, you know? And that's what passes for news. Might as well be the naked weather. I think they have something like that, and those I think in some European places the woman sits there reading the news or something with her top off, and it's extremely highly rated because people are really tuning in to watch the woman with her top off, not to listen to the news. Have you seen some of those clips, John, of the news or the weather with the topless woman?
Well, I've heard of it. I've never seen it.
There's The Naked Chef also. I'm sure you've heard of that.
Well, that sounds like a really bad idea.
Yeah, it does sound like a bad idea, but I think he keeps at least an apron on or something. I don't think it's a woman chef. It's a man chef, and it does sound like a bad idea. You know, knives and heat with parts hanging, flipping around is not good. But, yeah, you know, sex sells, and the media uses the hell out of that to, you know, put out the headlines. But yeah, I could just tell that this all the, you know, BS cover up just from the local news helicopter covering this thing, and they're saying they're not disclosing this and that and the other. Well, what's the big secret about, you know, a guy? Obviously, they're rubbing this guy's out because they had some connection to the FBI, and they had, you know, were no longer useful to them, and they needed to get rid of them. These Czarny brothers, Dzhokhar and Tamerlan. Yeah, I guess that's about all I have, really, John. I think it's a travesty that these, even if they are guilty, that they didn't get a proper trial, and they're still not getting a proper trial. In fact, one got an execution without anything, because it tried, obviously, if he tried attacking the FBI agent, they're trying to force him to sign, you know, some papers saying he's guilty, and obviously, you know, that wasn't going to happen. So there's a lot of corruption in this country. You know, I'm sitting here, you know, in the buying the safety of, you know, concrete walls, and you know, I didn't know these guys, and I don't know people in the FBI, and but you know, you get this that third sense when you see news, your local news covering an event that's third party. You know, like, you know, didn't have any influence from a, you know, federal type of, you know, script writer or something. You know, they're flying around their helicopter and taking images around this apartment, and FBI is just in there, you know, totally just doing their thing, like, you know, they own the place. Did you see any of that footage of the Orlando incident that happened a year or two ago?
No. I just read some stuff about it, some news blurbs, and some comments about it on Love Top Secret.
Right. Yeah, they got some information about the interrogation of these guys, Miranda warning, and a public safety exception, and blah, 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 and doubts about whether the suspect statement would be admissible as evidence, and detentions and charges. And they had a trial, and Judge O'Toole said the trial would begin on January 5th, 2 months later than planned, due to the extensive amount of evidence needed to be examined by both sides. And they wanted to link their delay by the defense, and so on, and refusing their request to change a venue to Washington, D.C. Czarny attended a pretrial hearing, first time public since July 2013. There is a pool of 1,373 prospective jurors filling out questionnaires, and they settled on a pool of 70 jury prospects after questioning 256 people over 21 days in individual interviews. A jury is composed of 8 men and 10 women, 6 of which were alternates, and it's beginning in federal court in Boston March 4th, and opening statements, Assistant U.S. Attorney William Weinreb, speaking for the prosecution, vividly described the scene of the bombing and attempted to paint Dzhokhar as a soldier in a holy war against Americans whose motives was reaching paradise, and that he acted as an equal participant. Yeah, That's why he's hiding in a boat, because he was trying to reach paradise in a boat. He was going to sail to paradise in that boat in somebody's backyard. Defense attorney Judy Clark declared in her opening statement that it was him, that it was Dokar Zarne who had placed the second bomb at the finish line in and was present at the murder of Sean Collier, at the carjacking of Dunmeng, and at the Watertown shootout. But she then laid out an argument aimed at saving Zarne from the death penalty by showing the influence that his older brother had and that Dokar was merely a follower. Between March 4th and 30th, prosecutors called more than 90 witnesses over 15 days of testimony, including bombing survivors who described losing limbs in the attack. Would that be those crisis actors from the war vets, John, you think, maybe? Those people?
Oh, could be.
And the government rested its case on March 30th. On March 31st, after calling four witnesses overall, the defense team representing Zarne finished presenting its case in the guilt phase. Following closing statements on April 6th, Zarne was found guilty on all 30 counts as the verdict was reached on April 8th. It took 26 minutes to read the verdict, which included convictions on weapons, bombing, conspiracy, and murder charges. Of the 30 counts, 17 carry the possibility of death penalty. Sentencing phase of the trial scheduled for April 21st, which is about 2 weeks away, less than 2 weeks away. And they go on to motives and backgrounds and Islam and religious motivations. Sympathy towards political aspirations of the Caucasus region, the Caucasus, and so on and so forth. Soviet Socialist Republic, autonomous. Kalmyk Autonomous Soviet Socialist Republic, North Caucasus. So that's it, really. You know, I mean, I'm not an expert. I just wanted to put some 2 cents into this thing. And,
well, they set these guys up. They arranged to have these guys there at the event, you know, the finish line at the Boston Marathon, and then they had their own bombs. The FBI people or whoever was staging it had their own bombs, and they could just use whatever pretext to get these brothers just there on the scene. And then as soon as the bombs go off, they say, aha, we know exactly who it was, because it's all on camera, except for the pictures don't even match the guys. But they say, oh, we know, because we're the FBI,
definitely,
and we can analyze the photos better than you can, and we know who these people are. So they do this big house-to-house search for these characters. But all it is just a plausible reason, because they figure, well, okay, we'll find these guys, and they have this kind of a sketchy background, and we'll set them up. And that's all it is. It's nothing but a frame-up. And they just kill off the ones that are not going to go along with it. And then the one guy that's the survivor out of the bunch, you know, he knows what's going to happen to him if he doesn't go along with the little game. So he just sits there and doesn't say anything. And then all the stupid people that believe what TV tells them, and they think, yep, that was the guy. They built a pressure cooker bomb because they wanted to go to paradise. Blah, blah, blah. None of it, if you examine it or even understand the religion, none of it even makes sense. Or even if you understand simple geography. But they just realize that they only have to fool just the stupid people, because apparently they're in the majority.
Yeah, just like on 9/11, they found that one of the hijackers' passports on the ground. The plane, you know, 100 stories up in flames, and one of the hijackers' passport is on the ground. That's going
to
happen.
Yeah, after there's no remains of the plane and no remains of any substantial, just ordinary things, you know, out of the building that blew up. Everything is all just big shreds, but, you know, magically, out of all those things that just disintegrated, the guy's passport survived, completely intact, no burns on it or in dirt or anything. It's perfectly pristine.
It's a miracle.
Yeah, amazing.
It's a miracle.
Because they don't care. They don't care if smart people can figure it out. Because they just figure, well, smart people, they're just, so, you know, like 10, 15% of the people. And most of the people are, you know, they just want to believe that the TV loves them and TV never lies.
You will worship the TV. You'll go to a big church assembly where they have huge TV screens, and you will follow the words on the big, the bouncing ball on the big screen at church. And we will make HDTV a requirement. You can't even opt in to an old TV format. You have to get a converter box to use your old TV, but you will have to have a new receiver to receive all new broadcasts. It will cost several million dollars for all television stations to upgrade to the newer, higher resolution, and old TV broadcast studios, stations, transmitters will be obsolete. The FCC has mandated this. What's that, the 1984 movie, the Big Brother movie?
1984.
Yeah, 1984. And it's the ISOV guy. He's in a big screen, and everybody mopes around, and they talk about this guy's like a Hitler figure, and you know, Sieg Heil, you know, everybody salutes and all this, and he's always on the big screen, and everybody's appearing in a big auditorium to see the big screen of this Hitler figure, you know, kind of ranting and raving about his philosophy and his will that is imposed law and such. And that appears to be kind of what's going on here in a kind of roundabout way. I mean, you think about...
Yeah, not very roundabout.
More and more actual, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, it's getting pretty nasty out there. I mean, I described to you the other day how I was driving in traffic at rush hour, and I was texting with the guy I was meeting, and some impatient guy behind me was, you know, really laid in on his horn, way inappropriately, for just a couple of seconds delay on leaving the light when the light turned green. And then I honked my horn, and then he proceeded to pass me, and I flipped him off, and I stupidly pulled into the gas station where I was looking to get some ATM, and the guy followed me right into the gas station parking lot, and he went, you know, it was a black guy, and he looked like he was ready to get out, and then he was, you know, we were going back and forth in the car, and, you know, I kind of had to ease him down with my hands, like, you know, take it easy kind of thing, you know, but he was ready to jump out of his car and, you know, throw fists, it looked like. Yeah, it's road rage, and, you know, and I, you know, I shouldn't have been listening to Rob Zombie that was playing on a whatever station I had tuned in, either. You know, a lot of times people drowned out the traffic by cranking the stereo. That girl I dated last summer, she was a case of that. She drove crazy. She cranked her Indian music to, you know, threshold pain threshold in her car. I really hated riding with her in her Camry that she inherited. You know, that was how she coped with the traffic, and she was, it was her, habit was getting in her car to drive someplace, driving like it was Indy 500, too fast, too furious. I mean, she really went like a bat out of hell. She ran stop signs. She, you know, did these jackrabbit starts and stops and fast turns and just treated that Camry like it was a Indy 500 car. And all the time while cranking this Indian music, you know, this kind of alternative hip, kind of like a trance or a rave type style Indian, you know, the Indian from India, that kind of, you know, and yeah. So I was kind of got off topic there, but Any further words, John?
Well, I was going to just say that the best thing is just to have a CD player and play the CDs and not have to goof around with the radio dial, because that's what could cause accidents. I just put in, bring a CD with me and put it in and just put it on loop, and I gave up basically on trying to listen to the radio. Radio is too damn annoying anyway because they put too much damn commercials in it.
Oh yeah. Oh, does your CD have just like a calm, kind of like a, you know, no heavy rock or metal or anything like that, right? Just a calming effect music. Because, you know. Because it's
yeah,
appears
I don't
to me that
I've listened to
driving
habits
kind of imitate, you know, what you're listening to. If you're listening to some classical music or some happy music, you're going to kind of drive probably more safely. If you're listening to some metal or some hard rock or at high volume, you're going to kind of drive maybe faster, take your turns quicker, and you know, kind of have more tendency to have maybe some road rage if somebody cuts you off or something. Music is a huge factor in emotional and decision making and such. I hope that we all listen to nice, calm music when we're driving around so that we can be safer and not have to be faced with let all these negative news events as continual fear-mongering, fear porn, you know, keep dragging us down, you know, and you know, the rush hour is really crappy. If you live in a city with a lot of population and overpopulated, and you know, without the upgrade of the enough lanes to carry the volume of traffic, it really is. You know, you talk 2 or 3 minutes per stoplight, it wears you down. By the time you get to your destination, you're ready to have a beer. I mean, they throw the heat and humidity in. And then the high gas price, and you're flipping tunes on the radio, and the next thing you know, just an accident waiting to happen. And there usually is, you know, truck driver, you know, spills all his construction materials over here on I-4 and shuts down 5 lanes, and then all those people sitting there, you know, it's hell. That's the worst part of working is the commute.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's what I was telling you the other day. It was the worst part of me going to school and ended up having me actually quit school before I graduated was because it was just so difficult just to physically get there, because the college that I was going to was right in the middle of the city, and it was hell just trying to get to damn school. It was horrible. I mean, just miles and miles, just dead stop in the middle of the interstate.
Did they have dormitories?
A giant parking lot. Huh?
Did they have dorms on campus?
Oh, very, very few. No, the population of that campus was 30,000 when I was going there. It's probably more now. 30,000 people. Yeah, so there's not housing for people like that. Plus, I couldn't afford any kind of housing anyway. I had to live someplace, you know, mooching off of my relatives or whatever to get free rent. I couldn't buy, you know, a place to live in the city because it was way expensive, crazy expensive. Yeah, in the middle of the city like that? No, it's insane. You know, you're talking about over $1,000 a month back in 1983 or whatever.
That's a hell of a, that's really unfortunate. I mean, I don't know how much of it you finish, but freaking tuition anytime. I mean, even, unless it's like a cheap-ass community college, tuition is freaking, you know, when you're young, you know, taking out loans and crap, it's, you know, money's tight, you know, you got to buy food and pay rent and pay for gas and insurance, work your ass off, and you got to study, and it's tough. Not easy. Maybe you got family helping you out, or you got a loan, you know, still loans got to be paid back, or maybe family has to be paid back or whatever, and, you know, you got to make a certain grade and study a lot and impress the jerk professor. Half the time the professors are jerks.
Well, the main thing is I just had to have free rent. And
yeah.
So I was over 50 miles away from where I had to go to school. And so it's a 50-mile one-way commute. And in that kind of traffic, you know, grid, just total gridlock in the city for miles and miles and miles.
San Diego?
It just wears you out.
And
all your energy is up just trying to get to one place or another. And you don't have any energy left over to do your schoolwork.
Was that Los Angeles?
No, this is in San Diego.
Oh, San Diego, okay. Yeah, that's pretty big city. Pretty big.
Well, the traffic is worse now than it was when I lived there years ago back in the 80s.
And even back then, wasn't there like a half of it Spanish-speaking?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't back then. It would be now.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. It's pretty bad now, as I understand it.
Well, I was just completely overrun with illegal aliens. It's just 1,000 border. And they don't bother really doing much about it, especially with Obama in there now. Well, anybody who is paying attention, that's the problem. Most people don't even pay attention to the details of what's going on in politics. But the guy, Bill Ayers, who was the mentor guy and who basically got him and Obama in the office, he was on a radio interview, and I listened to the radio interview. Bill Ayers, you know, the great guy that was the Weather Underground guy and was, you know, killed a couple of people, blown up police stations with bombs.
Right.
And
yeah.
And he said, I'm going to get Obama in the office. This is before he was elected. And he says, this is my agenda. My agenda is, once he's in office, is we're going to make all the illegal aliens all legal. And that was just the main thing. And that's exactly what he's doing. The main thing that the Obama is getting is making it all so that everybody who's in the country can stay. Nobody has to leave. But anybody who is paying attention would have known that before Obama was ever elected, and they should have known better than to ever elect a guy, because the goal, if you say something like that, anybody that comes into the country that gets across the border, no matter what, you're all going to just stay here, and then I'm going to make them all citizens. Well, this is what brought down the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire was brought down by the same thing. So all of a sudden you had this huge influx of all these people coming into the Roman Empire and saying, oh, yeah, well, now we're across the border into the Roman Empire. We all demand, Roman citizenship, and they become a burden on society until it collapses the whole thing. And that's the idea. That's the communist agenda. And that's the other thing is people should know that he was big-time, full-blood, communist, as red as you can get. Because the other guy that was his mentor, the guy's name, but he was this black activist that a lot of people think was actually his biological father that lived there in Hawaii. But he was a big-time college professor, communist, full-on communist. And Obama was raised to be a full-on communist. And what they want to do is to destroy the country. They wanted to pull